And gentlemen, making his very first Masters appearance is Mr. John Rahm. And John, welcome to the Media Center, Press Building.
Thank you.
John earned his invitation to Augusta National with his first career PGA Tour victory at the Farmers Insurance Open earlier this year. He followed that with three top five finishes, including a very impressive showing at the WCG Dell Match Play just a couple weeks ago. And before we open it up to questions, John, could you share with us just some of your thoughts and feelings and emotions about your first visit here to Augusta National?
Well, you know, I actually came here for the first time right after Mexico. And it really, for a Spaniard, it's hard to explain all the feelings that come to mind, right? The year I was born, Olazabal won his first Masters. Stevie had already won two. It really, you know, it's a place that seems to suit the Spanish game character, the Spanish way of playing, and obviously was extremely honored to be here. There's not many places in the world where golf is respected the way it is here, and it's really, for people like me who just turned pro and, you know, I've seen a lot of great places, it doesn't get much better than this, and truly was two of the best days of my life. I'm pretty sure today would have been up there if the weather would have let us practice a little more, but just being on the chipping green. I have the hour of my life being on the chipping green. It really is amazing to just walk down Magnolia Lane and you know, feel how well respected the game of golf is. It's truly amazing.
Good. Now for questions, please. Fourth row.
John, can you talk a little bit about the unique technique that you use to polish up your English?
There's many. You mean about rap songs? You're talking about? Yeah, it was, you know, I didn't use it to learn necessarily new words. It was more to help with pronunciation, enunciation, to be able to pronounce certain words and be able to just talk faster, you know, talk without pausing, because otherwise, if I hadn't done that right now, I would probably, you know, still be on the first part of the interview trying to explain how I felt, right? It really... I thought it was great fun for me to learn new words, but just to be able to pronunciate it properly and faster than I was doing it, it really helped me out to be able to keep up with some conversations.
Mark?
John, what sort of reflections do you have about playing against Dustin in the match play final, especially the last few holes there, and what do you think you bring out of it coming here?
Well, against Dustin, I really try to forget the first nine holes. I really don't know what happened. I played one and two perfectly, hit a great tee shot on three, and, you know, got a bad bounce, and after that, things just went south real quick. And I started missing shots, putts, missed a three-footer, an easy three-footer on five. Couldn't control my body, honestly. I don't know, it's like my body was independent from my mind. I was trying to focus and do my routine, but things just weren't happening, and... You know, once I got back to the groove, I learned that when I'm playing good, I can take on the number one player in the world. Even with a mistake on 12, another missed short putt, I had him on the edge on the back nine. I made birdies. I was pretty clutch in 16, making the long putt. And if I had been a little luckier in 17 or 18, maybe I would have had a chance to square the match and go into a playoff. So, you know, the damage was already done. I tried my hardest, but I learned that, you know, if I'm having a good day, I can face the number one player in the world.
Mark?
John, can you talk about the value of your association with Phil and Tim and just kind of, you know, where that all started and just what you've taken from him?
Well, obviously, it all started in college, right? Tim being my coach for 4 years, he was an easy access to Phil and his team. I pretty much played once each year, sophomore, junior, and senior year. Usually he's a busy man. It's hard to, you know, hard to find him. And that's kind of how it all started, right? Apparently, I get to learn from people that tell me he's always had an incredible faith on my game. We played against each other a couple of times, and, you know, he's had nothing but great things to say about me. So that's the first point, Phil being a great motivator. He told me, even before I turned pro, he thought I was one of the top 10 best players in the world. At the time, he gave me a lot of confidence, but I was like, okay, he's just trying to be nice, right? It's not possible. I mean, I'm still in college. It can't be that I'm as good as other players. But you know, when I went to Tim Pro and I'm doing what I'm doing, started to believe he was right, and I'm pretty close in getting to that point. And obviously, I've been able to play a lot with Phil. What to say about him, right? We all know how great of a guy he is, how much he can help a person, how knowledgeable he is about the game of golf, and in every single course we play in the PGA Tour, he's obviously been playing for a long time, and the way he studies the game and he studies the golf courses, he thinks about it more than anybody else. So the insight he's got, it really is amazing. I don't think the same way he does, but he always has very, very, very valuable info that I need to know for each week. And he might not always say it because I can't catch him in a good time, but whenever he can, he'll tell me and give me advice on everything, and it certainly helped me out.
Grant?
How much did that noise bother you at number 18 in the match play match?
More than I would have liked. It's just things that you can't control, obviously. Usually when you're focused, you don't hear things like that. There's been many times when, you know, I was on my own zone and I didn't hear it. Unfortunately for me, I did hear it that time, and it made me move my head a little bit and I chunked it. That's basically what happened. I really wish I would have been able to keep focus better and not hear it. So obviously it's not that person's blame, right? It's not their fault. I mean, they have the right to go to porta potty, obviously.
Scott?
Everybody knows that, you know, Fuzzy Zeller won here the first time in 79, and people thought it was something, you know, you need a lot of experience to be able to do. In recent years, Jason Day, Jordan Spieth have both come very close to doing it. A lot of people are talking about you as having a real opportunity here. I mean, do you approach this tournament thinking, yeah, I know I can win it, or do you feel like experience is something you're just trying to get this week?
If I didn't think I could win it, I wouldn't be here. Truly, Torrey Pines is not one of the places where rookies usually win for the first time, and I was able to do it, right? But obviously, this is a little different. It's a major. It's my first time in Augusta. It's very, very impressive. But I'm going to tee it up believing that I can win and competing to win. I might do it. I might not. But that's how I do it. That's how I did it at Torrey Pines. That's how I did it my first time as a pro in Congressional. And that's how I play. When I tee it up, it's because, you know, I want to win and I believe that I can win.
Let's go to Martin.
Have you spoken to Ali about some tips on playing the course, strategy, that sort of thing?
I haven't been able to talk to him much yet, but I'm hoping I can play Wednesday morning a little bit with him, see, because I know there's not many players alive that know more than about this place than he does, so hopefully I can play a little bit or spend some time with him to chat, and I know he'll give me some valuable info on about pretty much every single hole.
Yes, sir.
John, you've talked extensively the last, you know, few tournaments about controlling, you know, your emotions. What's going to be, you know, is it going to be a even bigger challenge this week? And, you know, how are you going to be able to handle this, you know, playing in your first Masters with, you know, a huge spectacle going on?
Well, you know, I'll be very excited on that first tee. I know the first tee set I'm going to be really, really pumped up, so I don't know how it's going to go, but that's what I'm going to try to control, right? I want that, oh my God, I'm playing the Masters moment to be as short as possible. I know it's going to happen. It might take one hole or two holes, but I want it to go away as soon as possible. I don't want to get to my 12th hole and be like, okay, with three over par, let's get to work, right? It's happened before. Happened at the British Open. It happened at Oakmont, right, before I realized it was seven over par. So that's what I'm trying to focus on, right? Keep it like every other week, not give it more importance than I already know it has. Try to keep my routine the same way, so you know, my body and my mind prepare the exact same way. Obviously, we all know it's a little different, but I'm just trying to keep it that way, so you know, I can get to play and keep the good momentum going as soon as possible.
And feel more calm than you did before Oakmont and the British Open?
Yeah. You know, I did make some mistakes at Oakmont, trying to think way too much about the golf course instead of playing golf. So that was one of them. So it's one of the things I don't want to get to the first tee and start thinking, okay, the pin is short left. You cannot be left. You cannot be long. You cannot be this, right? That's what I was thinking at Oakmont. Instead of playing, I was thinking of what I had to do, what I couldn't do. And that's not really usually how I play. I try not to focus on what I cannot do, right? So that's pretty much what I'm going to try to do.
Shane?
Thanks, Rob. John, with regard to your relative inexperience on the course and the rapid rise in your game, obviously now as a pro, how do you quickly learn a course like this and the intricacies and the subtleties?
Well, I've watched a lot of videos about Augusta National. And obviously, each year, conditions are different. Obviously, the weather might dictate how it's going to be, but I can make somehow of an idea of how it's going to be. So even before I played, I had somewhat of the idea of the strategy I was going to have to use on the golf course. Obviously, I won't really know what I have to do until I start seeing how the golf course is going to be set, right? How fast the greens are, how firm they are, because that always changes everything, right? If it's a little softer, I can start to get more aggressive. If it's firmer, maybe I need to be a little more conservative. So that all depends on the first few holes on Thursday. But I kind of have somewhat of an idea. I can't be specific right now, but I try to learn as fast as possible.
Just further to that, if I may, Rob, sure. Just very quickly.
Sure.
Seve, who will be celebrating his 60th birthday on Masters Sunday. He's had such an impact on this tournament. But when he won his first Masters, 1980, you had to use a local caddy. Are you availing of local caddies in the run-up? I know, obviously, you've got a full-time caddy yourself, but are you availing of their skills at this moment in time in these precious few days before the tournament starts?
Yeah, if I can, yeah. When I came a couple of weeks ago, I was recommended a caddy that knew about the greens better than anybody else, and he gave me a lot of good tips. Obviously, the greens were a lot slower than they're going to be, so I'm going to have to add probably about 10 feet of break for each putt. But besides that, I'm going to try to learn from everybody as much as possible. But like I said, I'm the kind of player where if I have too much info about the tournament, I might not know what to do with it. So I'm just going to try to keep the routine the same as I usually do and just, let the good play take care of itself instead of forcing it.
Thank you. John?
John, did you know that it would have been Seve's 60th birthday on Sunday? And what do you know and remember and think about when Seve's name is mentioned?
Well, Seve is my ultimate reference, idol. For me and for probably many other people in the world, right? I try to emulate a lot of the things he did and he transmitted on the golf course. And, the name Seve Ballester is really important for me. And, now knowing, I don't know if it's going to be anything special organized on Sunday or not, but, if I have a chance on that Sunday, I'm going to keep in mind that I know he'll be up there, much like in Medina, hopefully helping me out to get the green jacket. I know he'll help me out through the entire week, but hopefully on Sunday he'll make a special presence.
Good. Dan?
John, can you describe what it was like to be handed your invitation card inviting you to your first Masters?
I haven't gotten it yet.
Really?
I haven't been at home I've been home for a week every other week, so I haven't seen it yet. It might be on the mail right now. I don't know. I can't tell you. I haven't physically gotten it yet. I got the email invite, which was just as exciting because I remember it. But I haven't gotten it. I mean, I do have plans of framing that first invite and keeping it at home, that's for sure. I'll let you know when I get it, though.
Mark?
Yeah, when you're looking back, the decision to come to Arizona State rather than possibly, staying in Europe, turning pro earlier, what were the factors involved in that?
Simply two of them. Number one, and the one that had 95% of the reason why I didn't turn pro, I promised my parents that I was going to graduate. Simply that. There was a very small chance I was going to turn pro earlier no matter what happened. And number two is that I when it came to junior year, once I finished fifth in Phoenix, I just didn't see myself ready yet. I felt like I wasn't mentally ready, and there was a lot of things to take care of before I was going to feel ready to turn professional, right? Obviously, I was the only one from my family in the country. I had no place to live, no golf course to practice at, no resources, right? So I think it wouldn't have been the smartest thing to turn pro here, right? And my idea was always to start and try to get my PGA Tour card. Had I gone back to Europe, maybe it would have been a different choice, but I wanted to graduate. I promised my parents, and you know, I had a great time in college. And you know, if it could have been a little longer, I probably would have stayed a little longer too. And you know, PGA Tour careers are almost 30, 35 years long, so I think that on the large scheme of things, 1 or 2 years really don't make a difference.
I think we have time for one more question. Ryan?
John, you'd mentioned last week that you're still trying to figure out your schedule and what works best for you. Given your abbreviated practice schedule today and the potential for bad weather on Wednesday, do you still think going to Houston and playing last week was, you know, the right thing in advance of your first Masters?
Yeah. You know, the main reason why I played last week is a couple of reasons why. Obviously, they try to set up that tournament very similar to what Augusta is going to be like. We got rain. It seems that rain's coming, so it might not be as different after all. But one of the main reasons is because I didn't want to be at home practicing, overthinking it, right? Just being anxious to be here. And I know myself, I would have probably tried to come early and spend too much time here, and just the anticipation would have built up so high in my head that I wouldn't have been able to handle the first day. So I wanted to keep playing. And just keep the good momentum going. You know, I played the whole West Coast swing. I played 4 tournaments in a row, and my game never went down. It you know, each week kind of felt a little better. Well, even if I won my second one, right? But each week felt a little better. So I felt like, you know, I took a little break after Mexico, and playing 3 in a row was going to be the right choice to build up to this week. Match play doesn't really count because match play is completely different to what we play this week, right? We're just trying to make as many birdies as possible with not being aware of all the consequences if you miss one shot. So really the last week was the one getting prepped for this week. And I think it was a great week. Ended up with a sensational final round, got the top 10, and really just kept the positive momentum going for this week.
Ed?
I just wanted to get your thoughts about the rules controversy at the LPGA event yesterday.
What happened? No, I'm just kidding. Well, there's always going to be two sides to the rules, right? I'm not too sure what happened, but it was a 10-inch putt where Lexi didn't put it back into place properly. The rules do dictate that that's a penalty stroke, right? I'm not sure about the whole thing. I haven't heard the whole story, and I don't have, you know, the info that I probably should have. But, you know, as a player, it really is hurtful when that happens, right? Especially if it's a 10-inch, it's 10 inches. I mean, when was the last time a player that, you know, that level missed a 10-inch putt, right? My way to see it is that, you know, it in golf, when they try to go and replay like in other sports, when they can make a decision in the moment, it's a little harder because there's always going to be a couple holes after, and the influence in the tournament is going to be a lot bigger, right? It happened in the U.S. Open with Anna Nordqvist, and it's happened again with Lexi. It happened with Dustin at the U.S. Open. It really, even if it's the right call, it's just, you know, the magnitude of the repercussion or the consequences can be a lot bigger, even if it's the right thing to do. I really don't know what to say about it. I feel bad for Lexi because maybe she'd have won the tournament if that hadn't happened. But being a 10-inch putt, I feel like they could have just left it alone. She's not gonna miss it either way, whether it's a millimeter right or left, right? I really feel sorry for her. I wish, you know, I hope she can come back from it and win the next major. But I really don't know what to say. It's the rules of golf. They're hard to interpret. They're really hard to interpret exactly moments like that. And as I said, even if it's the right thing to do, it's, you know, one player's always going to be seriously hurt about it.
Okay, we have time for one more question. Joe?
Stories out there that before you won at the Farmers, you got a text from Tim that week telling you that he thought that you were going to get your first victory, that course really fit your game. One, has he sent you such a text this week? And two, do you think this course fits your game like that? Is this one of those courses that's really good for you?
Oh, you can ask him. He's right there. He did send me a text when we were going to from Palm Springs to Torrey Pine. He didn't say I was going to win. He told me, John, this is going to be a special week for you. if for some reason they think everybody around me and my team felt it. My girlfriend told me the same thing. My caddy told me the same thing. And once I got to the golf course, I was like, man, I love this place. It fits my game better than any other golf course I've played so far. So maybe he just put that idea on my mind, or maybe it's really, you know, something we all felt. And this week, I think everybody feels special in Augusta National, right? It's a course that it's proven that it fits any kind of player, right? You've had right-handers, left-handers, drawers, faders, long hitters, and short hitters win. So, but I do think it suits my game. It certainly suits my eye. And, you know, I usually like putting in places like this where, you know, you have a lot of break, and it just makes it a lot more fun and gets the creative side out of me. So I really, I think it suits me, and I'm probably going to enjoy it a lot.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for being here. And, John, thank you so very much for taking time from your preparations to be with us.
My pleasure. Thank you guys.